Hello, everybody. This is Parshas, Parshas, Bereishis. Before we start Sefer Bereishis, I want to just kind of give an introduction. When we learn the Torah, we have to understand two things. First of all, who wrote the Torah down? And secondly, when exactly was it written down? So the Ramban, in his Hakdama, in his introduction, he writes as follows. He says, number one, in regards to when the Torah is written down, there's two opinions of the Gemara Megillah. One opinion says that the Torah was written down in segments. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the first half at Matan Torah, and the second half was written down in pieces. As each mitzvah was given, he wrote it down, culminating with the end of his life. The other opinion in the Gemara is Sefer Chasuma Nitna, that it was actually all written down at the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the whole thing at once. Okay, that's when it was written. Now, who wrote it? So we know Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who wrote down the Torah. Now, there's an obvious question, though. Why isn't written different than all other Nevi'im? All other Nevi'im write, first of all, in second person. This is the words of Chazon Yishayahu ben Amait. Yishayahu says, this is my Nevu'ah. Yirmiyahu writes like that. Moshe Rabbeinu writes about himself as third person. He writes about himself as kind of as if from the outside. Why is that? So Ramban explains the reasons as follows. If you look in Vezeis HaBracha, it says, Miminoi Eish Dust Lame. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on his right hand, there's this Eish Dust, this fire of Torah that's on his right hand. What does that mean, says Rashi, in the name of the Medrash? That the Torah was actually written down on white fire, it was written with black fire upon white fire, well before the creation of the world. So therefore, says the Ramban, Moshe Rabbeinu is not a regular Navi. He's not a Navi who gets a Nevuah and writes it down. He's taking an existing book, so to speak, and he's writing it down. He's transcribing it. Therefore, it's not him. It's not his Nevuah. He's a third party. Okay. Well, the question is, what exactly did it say before the world was created? Did it say Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu, all these stories? They weren't around yet. Did it say Moshe Rabbeinu? So Ramban says that the wording and the letters are two different things. Meaning, our Torah begins Beis, Reish, etc. The way we have it, the wording is Bereishis Bara Elokim. That's how the spaces are put in. However, he says, before the world was created, there was no spaces. And the Torah can be read in multiple different ways. It can be read Bereish, Brias, etc. And the reason for that, says the Ramban, is because really, essentially, the Torah is all names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All those letters comprise different shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, different shemos HaKadoshim. And that's why we have a concept of gematrius and ramazim, and you can bring hints from one letter to the other letter, because essentially that's what it is. The Torah is all names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and permutations which can be made this way and that way, etc. At a certain point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to break it into words, which comprise the stories of things that happened in the past. And that's pshat, but in Remez, Jewish side, there's a lot of levels to the Torah, and that's all hidden in the different ways you can compile the letters and put them together. So again, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't technically the one getting this Nevuah and writing it down. It was written down before. His job was just to write it down in the form and the version that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to write it at that time. And that's why it's always in third person, because it's not his personal Nevuah. The Ramban explains that's why if a letter is missing from the Torah, it makes the whole Torah puzzle. Because you're right, the meaning of the word might not change if it's missing a vav or a yud or something. But in the form of the Shemus HaKadoshim that a Sefer Torah makes up, there's a central difference. You're missing that letter. You're missing the whole shame. And that's really why the halacha is that there's a fundamental difference between Torah Shebiktav and Torah Shebaalpeh. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes in Hilchos Tamat Torah, comes from Magen Avraham, that if a person reads a Gemara and he has no idea what it means, he just reads the words, he doesn't necessarily get schar because he didn't understand the concept. The idea of Torah Shabbat Peh, it's a commentary, it's a pirush, it's concepts. And if you don't understand it, you're not learning. Torah Shabbat Sav, however, has a kedusha inherently in the letters and in the words. And therefore, if a person just reads it, he'll get schar for just reading the Torah because every letter is kaddish. So therefore, when we start the Torah now, and we're going to another cycle, we have to recognize what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a sefer which is kol kula entirely. Sheamus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Sheamus HaKadoshim. Every letter is holy, every word is holy. And with that, we can start to begin to try to kind of get into the depths and to understand all the different things that lie beneath the surface of the Torah as we learn it. It's a very interesting medrash on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Va'aretz ha'isah sayu v'vayu, the land was desolate, it was empty. And the Pasuk continues, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that there should be light, hi'ar, vayhi'ar, etc. It says a medrash like this. Tayu v'vayu, this emptiness is desolate. Elu ma'aseyin shel rishayim. This is a reference, an allusion to the deeds, the actions of the wicked of rishayim. Yihi ar, there should be light. Elu ma'aseyin shel tzaddikim. That's referring to the good deeds, the actions of tzaddikim. Says the Medrash. Aval eini yodea, but I don't know, but eze mehem chafetz. Which one does HaKadosh Baruch Hu truly want? Does he want the deeds of the wicked or the deeds of the tzaddikim? Im b'maaseyim elu v'im b'maaseyim elu. Which one does he prefer? Kiva nechsiv, since the pasuk goes and writes, Vayara lekim sa'ar ki toiv, Hashem said, I like the light, the actions of tzaddikim, that it's good, so now I know that b'maseyin shal tzaddikim chavet, because Baruch Hu wants the deeds of the tzaddikim. Now anybody who reads this medrash is puzzled. What in the world is the medrash saying? Oh, I don't know which deeds HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes better, the wicked or the tzaddikim. I mean, come on, that's why they're called tzaddikim, because they're doing the right thing, it's tzaddik, it's correct. Russia is wicked, right? What kind of medrash is this? So, different explanations given to this medrash, but the author of Kelm says like this. He says, the medrash means as follows. We're not talking about the deeds of the wicked as in their wicked deeds. We're talking about the good deeds of the wicked. There's good deeds of Rishayim and good deeds of Tzaddikim. What's the difference? The difference is very simple. When does a Rasha do a good mitzvah? The Rishayim, they do big mitzvahs. They'll, you know, give charity when it's like really, really, really essential. Someone like really like poor and destitute and like a widow and they're really starving. Then he'll come in and save the day. You know, or he'll do something when there's like, you know, a Mesiras Nefesh and he'll be that guy. A Rasha only gets involved in the big stuff. That's the mitzvah of Rishayim. Mitzvah Tzaddikim, they're the ones like sitting there busy. Did I eat a shear for Al Michio? Did I make a bracha achrayna? Did I say Mashav Ruach HaMered HaGeshem? They're busy with like little details, like the technical stuff. That's the Maseim Shal Tzaddikim. And the Medrash is saying, well, it's not clear. Which one does the HaKadosh Baruch Hu want more? Does he want the guys who are doing the big stuff? Does he want the guys who are busy with the little stuff? The Maseim Shal Tzaddikim. Now, the Medrash says, you know what? We call them Maseim Shal Tzaddikim. We call them Or. They're light. You know why? Because they recognize that every single mitzvah brings so much light into this world. They recognize every single mitzvah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's really nothing that's little in this world. So comes the Medrash and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayahar Or Ki Toiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want the mitzvahs of Tzaddikim. I want those little things, so to speak, the light. That's the ones I care about the most. That's the ones HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I remember hearing from my Yeshiva, Rabbi Yisvei, said about Levi, his father, Rabbi Yisvei, he said, people love to hear big stories of godless, of when this godless stayed up the entire night, and the next morning he went to go. He says, big people, they don't do that kind of stuff. Little people, they do big things. Big people, they do little things. They do little things one after another, and then they become big at the end of their life because they kept doing little things. Little people, they like to do big stuff, and everything else they let on the wayside. And that's what the Medrash is saying. Kadosh Baruch Hu saw the actions of tzaddikim means the little, so to speak, day in and day out, Mesiras Nefesh that they put in to do the right thing. And that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki Toiv, that's what he wants, and that's the right thing. The parasha continues, and it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu made the two Ma'iris, the two luminaries, the sun and the moon. And then it says, Vayitein Eisam Elekim Berekhi Ashamayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu put them into the heavens to give light upon the earth, Lim Shabayim Balayla, to do it, to serve by night and day. And Rav Huttner used to say over in the name of his rabbi, the altar of Slabodka, that if you look, in Shabbos morning we say the, what's known as Halal HaGadol, the Kapitel in Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Lamed Vav, which goes through all the Kili Olam Chazdeis, 26 Kili Olam Chazdeis, Hoyd L'Hashem Ki Toiv, Hoyd L'Hashem Ki Lekim. As you look there, it's interesting, there's three Hoydus said about the luminaries. And at first it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these great luminaries. Then it says he made the sun Then it says again, the moon and the stars to be memshel balayla kilam chazay. What are these three things? Why is it repeated? You said, okay, he made the luminaries. Says the altar, no. That's exactly the point. There's making the luminaries, making an amazing thing, making the sun, making the moon. And then there's two separate things we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so as we praise for, is for putting the sun by day, the moon by night. You can have an amazing thing, but if it's in the wrong place at the wrong time, it's not a good thing. And there's three separate hoidus on the sun, the moon, putting the sun by day, putting the moon by night. These are all separate things, and it's very, very important not to lose track of that. You do something great, but it has to be done at the right time, in the right place. The Baal HaMusar says a story. There's once a bachur, I think, in Volozhin, who his father, you know, hadn't heard from him in a while, and he wanted to make sure he was doing okay. So he came to visit him. Could have mixing up the details, but which weird yeshiva this was in. But he came to visit him, and he was in the middle of learning then, in the middle of Seder. His father came, he saw his room, he saw everything was neat, he saw the bed was made, and he said, okay, fine, everything's doing fine. I see that his room is made, everything's neat, he's mesuder, and therefore, everything must be doing okay. Because ultimately, if a person has his life in order, a person has everything in place, he can succeed. If everything's all over the place, then it's very hard to kind of get things done and really go forward. The Baal HaMusar continues and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a person B'Tselem Elokim, in the form or the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's two basic, so to speak, ways to understand this pasuk. The Nefesh HaChayim in Shar Aleph, he discusses, why does it choose a name of Hashem called Elokim? We know there's different names of Hashem. Why does it choose a name Elokim? And he explains over there at length, the whole Shar Aleph is based off the point that Elokim is the Baal HaKoyachos Kulam. It's an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power over the whole world, and he kind of runs the show. And he explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a human being in that image, that the world around us really is dependent upon our actions. A person is in the image of Hashem in the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a person in the center of the universe, and his actions, his mitzvahs, his averus, his thoughts, his deeds, they literally shape the reality around, the control, the shefa, the flow of goodness that comes in into the world. And that's why he's titled Tzelem Elokim, because he's a certain sense, he is the part that really makes things move and shifts things in the creation of the world. And he has a certain ability, so to speak, a level of elikus in him that he can make or destroy things depending on his choices. That's an Nefesh HaChayim's shot. I saw that they bring from Rabbi Aaron Cutler, that he would bring down from his Rebbeim, a little bit of a different twist. He says, a person, fundamentally, doesn't change. A person could be besser and shener. A person can improve himself, can beautify himself, he can improve himself. But a person never changes. But what a person could do is he can take all that potential that's inside him, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him, and he can improve himself and make him better, make himself better, make himself better. And that's really a person's obligation. The pasuk in Iyov says, Ayir pere yulad adam. Now, literally, when you look at the translations, what that means is a person is born a wild mule. But the Baal HaMusar says, not what it means. What it means is, Ayir pere yulad adam. A wild mule is supposed to give birth to a person. It means a person is supposed to take himself from being a wild mule and become a person, become an Adam. And that's what it means to be an Tzelem Elokim, is that a person has the ability to create himself from that potential and to bring himself out and really kind of improve himself and take all that raw material and become something big with it. So I'll end up with one last point. At the end of the parsha, we are introduced to Chanoich. Chanoich is a tzaddik gomor. He's a complete righteous person. It's Elokim, it's Halach. Chanoich walked with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it says that eventually he left, so to speak. He went up to Shemayim alive, and he was a tzaddik gomor. But it's interesting, there's not much mention of him anywhere else in the Torah. That's it. He gets his one pasuk, and that's it. And the Mefarshim say that because there's a fundamental difference here. There's two paths. There's a Chanoich and there's Avram Avinu. Chanoich was somebody who was a Tzadik Gamor, but he kind of contained himself. He wasn't Meiser Nefesh to the point where Avram Avinu was to try to change everyone else. He kind of saw everyone else was rotten, and he kind of bottled himself up, hid himself away, and he was a Tzadik Gamor. But, say the Mefarshim, that's it. He went on. Avram Avinu pushed himself, and he fought with people, and he really tried to change everyone around him. And that is why, ultimately, Avram Avinu is the one who is Zeicha to come and be Maimid, and to bring about Klal Yisrael, and the entire, so to speak, Tachas Sabria, the point of creation, because he's willing to go and push himself beyond himself and to start trying to change everyone around him. So, be Zeicha to have a wonderful Shabbos, and as we start this coming year and cycle of a Torah, to really try to not only work on ourselves, but to help everyone else around us keep on growing. Have a wonderful Shabbos.